Good morning.
I trust that you have your Bible with you, and I encourage you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to look at those first 10 verses in this message I've entitled Tree Climbing Curiosity. I attended a private boarding school from grades 8 to 12, and I had courses for all of those 5 years in what we called sacred studies, which was the Bible. We had several years in the Old Testament and a couple of years in the New Testament. I worked for we had quizzes, wrote essays, took exams. I worked for a computer company later on after graduation, and I had an employee share the gospel message with me on a number of times over another 5 years. And then I attended worship and Sunday school in a Baptist church for still another 6 months. We moved to Miami. And there was no change in my life over nearly 11 years of being confronted with the Bible, being confronted with Scripture, the truth of Scripture, the gospel message. Jesus and I met at a 4-day Christian festival of music and speaking, and my life was changed forever. I was just an average guy, living life, on my way to hell for sin. And Jesus, as Scripture says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save me, individually and everyone corporately over all the centuries. Luke chapter 19, in that first verse, it records Jesus entered and passed through Jericho and met a man, Zacchaeus. That encounter applies to most of us. The Scottish pastor George Matheson wrote about this passage, "What makes Zacchaeus so special is that he was an average man. He is every man. He is the model for every lost person who needs a saving relationship with Jesus Christ." I want to look at the man Zacchaeus and see three characteristics of the person that Jesus came to save. First of all, Jesus came to save the average man. That's where we want to begin. Look at verse 2, the first part of it, and then verses 3 through 5. "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector." Now we'll skip down to verse 3. "And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" So, what do we learn about this man? In fact, very little. There's very little information here about Zacchaeus. But the information that we do learn reveals a lot. He was short. Well, people saw his size. Maybe you know people who are identified by a physical characteristic. He was tall. She's pretty. Dark hair, bald, skinny, etc. When I lived in Miami, I was called by a lot of the distributors that came from Latin America up to our to our office in Miami, I was given eventually the nickname El Rubio. Well, El Rubio means the blonde one because of the color of my hair. The sad reality is we often value a person by their physical appearance without knowing much of anything about them. He was called by name. Jesus made eye contact and spoke to him face to face. It wasn't an interruption. The Lord always has time for those who seek Him. Do we always have time for those seeking Jesus? That's the question. Jesus was interrupted another time on His way to heal someone. And He ministered to the one who interrupted Him and then continued to the one He was going to heal. He was tax collector. He was not just tax collector, He was chief tax collector. Maybe you know someone as an elected official, maybe a football coach, maybe as a teacher, a doctor, a dentist, or a coworker. You don't really know the person, but you know the position he or she holds. I wonder when the last time someone asked Zacchaeus, "How's your mom? I heard she was sick." There had to be more to this man than taxes. But you see, tax collecting was rewarding as a job, as a business, but it wasn't easy. Because everybody hated you. You worked for the Roman Empire. And they executed hired help who didn't perform. So you had to do a good job for them. You see, what Jesus saw was not what everybody else saw. The short man who was a tax collector for the Roman Empire. No, what Jesus saw was the man behind the job. A man who sought to see Him, and in response, Jesus sought a relationship with him by going to his house for lunch in a chat. We call that fellowship. Jesus came to save the average man. There are average people all around us. People Jesus came to save. And He wants to use us to tell them the good news. He wants us to be the ones who bring people face to face with Him for salvation. So, Jesus came to save the average man. But second, Jesus came to save the spiritually curious. Look at the second part of verse 2 and then verses 6 and 7. He climbed up into a tree. In the second part of verse 2, he climbed up into a tree. But then Jesus confronted them and He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. But when they saw it, that means the other people, they all complained saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." You know, the interesting thing about Zacchaeus is most salvation stories that you hear, particularly dramatic stories of people getting saved, are stories about the down and out, not the up and in. I became friends with a man named Jim at First Baptist Church of South Miami, Florida. Guy became a Christian. He said He had a happy family. He was about to become a father. He had a successful career in management with the FAA. He was just a good guy. He wasn't down and out. He was up and in. But Jesus came to him, and he became a Christian. And he became a very devoted and faithful Christian and a leader in the church there. Zacchaeus was much like my friend Jim. He was successful. He worked hard to earn the title chief. And he was rich. That second part of verse 2. Jim came to Christ up and in. Zacchaeus did also. The text seems to indicate that Zacchaeus did his job with integrity. Because he says later on, after being saved, he says, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation. So it doesn't seem like he was cheating people and corrupting. He says, if I did, not realizing it, if I did, I'll pay it back. We assume he was corrupt because he was a tax collector. I mean, it's like all politicians are crooks. All lawyers are liars. Well, all tax collectors are corrupt. You see, Zacchaeus didn't have any observable need, but he was curious about Jesus. Why? Why was he curious? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, the second part of it says, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. You see, God has placed in the soul of every person a desire to connect with his Creator. Some fight it, some ignore it, and some deny it. But no amount of worldly success can satisfy the need to know God. That's what happened to my friend Jim. And that's also what happened to Zacchaeus here in our narrative. As the church and as individual Christians, it's our responsibility to keep that at the heart of all that we do. The need to know his God is at the heart of every man, and it should be at the heart of everything we do. Lost people don't need our music. Lost people don't need our wisdom. Neither do they need our church buildings. Nor do they need our sermons. What they need is Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus needed Jesus. As does every lost person in our community and world today. I remember when I was pastor at Edgemere Baptist Church, there was a man there named Dwayne Frantham. Dwayne was, his wife taught in the church, and his children came to church with his wife and came to Bible studies and children's activities. But Dwayne didn't want to have anything to do with it. But what he ended up doing was, because it was good for his family, his children, everything, he brought his children each week. And one of the things that but he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And what I was told by the chairman of the deacons at the church was, I'll be careful with that guy, Dwayne, because I suggested that, asked about him and suggested that that we reach out to him. And he said, oh, no, he slammed the door in our face and told us to get off of his property the last time somebody tried to reach out to him. And I said, well, okay. Well, then let's you and I go and visit him. Let's try again. So we went there and visited. And he didn't, He didn't throw us off the property. He didn't slam the door in our face, but he said he wasn't interested. He didn't have anything to do with it. He said it was good. He brought his wife went there, his children went there, and he dropped them off. That was okay. That was fine, but he wasn't interested. Well, I came up with a new strategy. I made sure that I happened to be near the entrance on Wednesday nights when he brought the children, because he would bring them in and drop them in the class. And so he had to walk through there. And so I made sure that for some reason I was there in that area. And so I greeted him and said hi to him. Hey, anytime. I tried to talk to him. And he didn't really want to say much, but I told him, I said, hey, look, I understand, but if there's any time that you do want to talk, just let me know. Well, 1 week he came in, and as I engaged him, he said that he'd like to talk and ask me if I'd come and visit him. And so I went there to visit him the next day. Turned out that his father had fallen. His father was 90-something years old. His father had fallen, hit his head, was essentially in a coma and on life support, and with a brain hemorrhage. And so I went to visit him. And in talking with him and seeking to minister to him, I got the opportunity to share the gospel message with him. And he received it and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. He knelt down on the floor of his home next to his sofa. And I knelt down with him and he prayed to know Jesus Christ. He came to church. He was baptized, became a member of the church, became a leader in the church, was very faithful and very much involved with the church. Every lost person in our community and beyond need Jesus, just as Zacchaeus needed Jesus. Just as my friend, like Zacchaeus, doing well in life, everything going wonderful, need Jesus. Every person needs Jesus, whether they're down and out or whether they're up and in, doing okay. Third thing I want to say is that Jesus came to save the lost sinner. Look at verse 8, down to verse 10. It says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus declared, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus got saved. He was born again. Listen, Zacchaeus didn't buy his salvation. His actions in giving away to the poor and giving back to anyone he might have cheated, those actions revealed the changed life. After he was saved, he was moved to do that. After meeting the Lord, he became more caring of others than of his own desires, which would have been pretty aggressive to make him a chief tax collector. An interesting part of the story of this narrative is that Zacchaeus didn't change jobs. He was a tax collector before he met Jesus Christ, and as far as we know, he was a tax collector after he met Christ. But what I guess he did, and I figure he did, was that he began to use his job and resources as opportunity to serve Jesus. God needs Christians ministering the gospel everywhere in the marketplace. How about you? Do you know Jesus? Is He your Savior? Because, see, I don't know. I'm the only person that I know for sure is saved. You might be trying to fool me, saying that you're a Christian. But just let me ask you that question. Do you know Jesus? Because, you see, the life, the new life that Zacchaeus received is still available today, 2,000 years later. That gospel message. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, you see, that sin needs to be paid for and punished. The wages of sin is death. That's not just a physical death. That's eternal death for all of eternity in hell. But the second part of that verse says, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. God sent Jesus to give us eternal life. And why? Well, John 3:16 says that He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that love was demonstrated in the giving of Jesus by Jesus dying on the cross for our sin. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's left for us is to confess that Jesus died for us. Believing in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and because Jesus was raised from the dead, He has the power to raise us from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. But with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then we just need to reach out and ask. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you acknowledged your need as a Savior, as a sinner, and have you asked Jesus to be your Savior for your forgiveness, for eternal life? All you need to do is reach out. If you are a Christian, I want to remind you that there's a whole neighborhood out there, all around you. A neighborhood of people just like you that need to know Jesus Christ. Would you make a commitment to go among your neighbors and tell them about your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ? Would you do that? Would you make that commitment? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this narrative, this story of Zacchaeus and his seeking Jesus, his curiosity, Jesus confronting him, and his changed life in Christ. Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, became a Christian and began to serve Jesus Christ. And Father, each one, anyone who's listening to or watching this video, this message, Lord, that You would speak to their heart, that You would do business with them for their salvation, for their ministry, for the gospel's sake. And Father, we just place it all before You in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.